it only takes a remnant.
That's right.
That's all it takes is a remnant. You know, where two or three are gathered, I think that's a remnant. And so there are more than two or three here right now, so the rest will come straggling in at some point, I guess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, life is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't it good? You know, birthdays are good. Every time you have a birthday, that number gets bigger, but you're still here. And so, you know, and so I had a birthday yesterday. I'm 63 now. And so my wife was gracious and went up to Lansing yesterday to watch Michigan High School Basketball Championships. And so took me back a little bit. But when we were on our way back, Prophet Susie called and said, you know, can you do the opening tomorrow? I said, okay, fine. And as soon as she said that, something popped in my head. And what popped in my head was hope rings eternal.
Amen.
And so I've learned that not to press things, just to go with it. And so I'm going to go with hope rings eternal. Because I think this is a day and a time when we need to have a surety of the hope that we have. You know, that our hope is not empty. That our hope is full, and our hope will deliver dividends. And so we see here in Proverbs 16, verse 4, it says, the Lord has prepared everything for his purpose, even the wicked, for the day of disaster. And in my notes I have, I write these notes to myself, and so it says, even in this day of twisted logic, backwards morality, sin elevation, political corruption, and mocking God, his plans are being executed. And the plans of God's enemies are being used by God to advance his will. And so even though we see all of this wickedness going on around us, the word says that that's a part of the plan. That's what the word says. And a lot of times, sometimes I think we try to stop these things. But if it's a part of God's plan, why are we trying to stop him? I don't know. I just get these thoughts sometimes because I don't know exactly how we're to respond. But it says that he knows what's going on and that they're a part of his plan. Now, if we go over to Romans 15, where are you, Romans? Let's start here. It says, now we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. And not to please ourselves. Now, this is a big part, because a lot of times we do things to please ourselves because we want to look in the mirror and we want to think how holy we are. And so the Lord said, no, you're not going to get credit for that if that's your motivation. And it says in verse 2, each one of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for even Christ did not please himself. On the contrary, it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. So Jesus says the insults of those, the people that insult you, those insults that they hurl against you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement from the scriptures. Now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that you may glorify God and so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one mind and one voice. That's why we're here today. We're here to glorify God with one mind and one voice. That's what the word says. And it says, therefore, welcome one another. How y'all doing? Just as Christ has welcomed you to the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a servant of the circumcised on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises to the fathers, and so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praise to your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him. Verse 12, it says, and again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will appear, that being Jesus, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles will hope in him. Now in verse 13 it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We aren't to be walking around like bad luck, you know, slept rocking, Eeyore and whatnot. People should want to gravitate towards us because they feel the hope in our presence. You know, we should be walking hope emitters. That's the way we're to live. Now, this is a challenge to me, you know, and so because I don't know that people always feel that way around me. And so I want them to feel hope. I want them to have the ability to stand on the hope that I have when they are hopeless. Right? And so we want to be hope emitters. We just want to be HEs, just walking around, just emitting hope everywhere we go. You know, just hope, just, you know, going to dark places. The places are dark because they're hopeless. And so we go into those places and we just generate hope. Just hope generators everywhere we go. If we truly believe this word, then we can't help but live that way. Right? Let's be hope emitters. You know, let's be hope generators everywhere we go. So that other people who are without hope can feel it until they're able to absorb it, and then in turn, they become hope emitters. Amen. That's what we want to do, right? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for this time that we've come to honor and praise you, Father God. We thank you and recognize your sacrifice that you've done on our behalf, Lord Jesus. And Father, we want to honor that sacrifice, Lord. We want to honor that sacrifice with our lives. We want to honor that sacrifice with how we live, Father God. We want to honor that sacrifice with how we impact other people, Lord Jesus. For you said, go forth. And Father, we are going forth to spread the good news, to emit hope, to instill life in the dead. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you, we honor you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I'll just do a quick transition here. As you can see, the Kings are not here. You can see that Amy's not here. And we send the word of healing into Amy's house. She's not feeling well this morning, and we just speak over her that healing is her portion, is the children's bread, and that she will be strengthened and that healing will manifest in her body. And so that she will be here next week, and she will not be under any kind of sickness. Now, I want you to know the Kings are doing really well. They are at a family wedding. Pastor's youngest sister, his only sister, one of her children, I think it was a daughter, got married. And so they are at this family wedding. So we are here as the family of Harvest to stand in our place on Sunday morning. And so we are going to worship with Steve Swanson because he has our DNA, he has our sound, or we have his sound, we all have God's sound. And so I just want you to feel free to join right in. It's not any different because where we're worshiping is to the throne. We're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it's not about how the music comes forth, but that the music is to honor him and to glorify him. So stand and we will go into worship. So Father, we just thank you. We worship you, Lord. We position ourselves in the place of worship. We look at you, Lord. Our eyes are fastened upon you. And we lift your name up. We glorify you and we bring you honor and we bring you thanksgiving, Lord. It says to come into the gates with thanksgiving and to honor you with praise. And so, Lord, that's how we are positioned. And we come as Mike even already opened up this morning, we come with as one voice, one heart, one release of worship to you.
Thank you, Lord. I want to be right in the middle of what you're doing. How many want to do that tonight? Right, be right in the middle of what God's doing. Whoa.
I want to be in the middle of what you're doing, God. And I want to see your Holy Spirit moving. I want to change the atmosphere around me. wanna see your holy fire consuming, soothing. There's a groaning in my spirit to see your kingdom come, to see your power moving through the earth. Lord, let your will be done. Yeah, I wanna catch the wave. I wanna roll with the river. I wanna ride on the cutting edge of your glory. I wanna move with the cloud, yeah, fan the flames of revival. I wanna ride on the cutting edge of your glory. The nations in revival.
Now come on.
I want to hear the rolling of your thunder, thunder. Yeah, I want to be in the center of your passion. I want to move the glory, signs and wonders. There's a groaning in my spirit. Your kingdom come.
Yes, God.
To see your power moving through the earth. So let your will be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Yeah. I want to catch the wave. I want to roll with the river. I want to ride on the cutting edge of your glory. I want to move with the cloud, fan the flames of revival. I want to ride on the cutting edge of your glory. Yeah. I want to catch the wave. I want to roll with the river. I want to ride on the cutting edge of your glory. The cloud, fan the flames of revival. I want to ride on the cutting edge of your glory. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done.
It's a reality tonight.
Yeah. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. like the rain. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done, right here on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven. Yeah, Jesus.
And open up, open up.
sing. Sing, O Zion, sing. Sing, O Zion, sing. For the Lord has delivered you. Dance, O Zion, dance. Dance, O Zion, dance. Dance, O Zion, dance. For the Lord has delivered you. Rejoice, O Zion, rejoice. Rejoice, O Zion, rejoice. Rejoice, O Zion, rejoice. For the Lord has delivered you.
Sin was crucified to give eternal life, that I would never die, Jesus. By your abounding grace, my soul forever saved. To you praise, Jesus.
I, the Lord, declare, I am your God, and I am grateful and thankful that I have you as my forerunners today today. We declare, Lord, we declare today. We stand for you and we stand with you no matter what, no matter what. No illness, no financial depression or any kind will stop us from serving you, from glorifying you, from giving you the praise and thanking you for all the wonderful things you have bestowed upon us. First of all, our life in this earth. We give you the praise and glory, Lord, thanking you for the city of Detroit, that it is beginning to stand in the name of Jesus, stand for you. And we stand for you and we stand with you. Every single moment of our lives, when we get up in the morning, when we lay down at night, the Lord God declares, I am grateful and thankful for every one of you.
Yes, says the Lord. Declare my glory, my people. The Lord said, this is a season, saith the Lord, that I would try you and see that you would praise me. The Lord said, the highest praise is within you. I said, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. The Lord said, you are my temple, saith the Lord. Yes, the Lord said, instruments and singing, it adds to me, saith the Lord. But the Lord said, your praise, your hands, when you lift your hands, saith the Lord, for you are my gate, saith the Lord. Lift your hand, saith the Lord, for I take you from glory to glory, saith the Lord. Press in, saith the Lord. I'm challenging you, saith the Lord, to press in to me, saith the Lord. The Lord said, this is the time and the season that your praises, saith the Lord. It breaks the chains, oh God, of those around you, your family. The Lord said, will you try me, saith the Lord, and praise me in spite of, for I look for true worshipers that will worship me in spirit and truth. For this is the time, saith the Lord. Press in, worship me, lift up your hands, saith the Lord. Lift your heart, saith the Lord. Allow me to sit upon the throne of your heart, saith the Lord. Allow me, you will see signs and wonders and miracles breaking off in this place. No need to lay hands, saith the Lord. I will do the work. Worship me, worship me. You're at the door, said the Lord. Worship me, tap in, said the Lord. Continue to press on, said the Lord. For you are my glory carriers. My glory rests on the inside of you. Press in to me, said the Lord.
I hear the Lord saying that today we shall be one nation, and together that today we shall defeat the evil. Today we shall do things that we have never done before. And I hear the Lord saying that today we will all unite as one and defeat the army of evil.
Suddenly, 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 suddenly. We'll be right back.
Bow on bended knees.
come before the glory of the King and sing glory, King of glory. We give you glory, King of glory.
have I not raised you up to sit together with me in the heavenlies? And in the heavenlies, I rule and reign, and I have raised you up to rule and reign with me. And in this hour, my sons and daughters, my government of peace will be manifested. And as my government of peace is manifested, you will see the company of Zion that I have ordained you to be. So you are my city in the earth. And as you begin to live, to hear what I'm saying, to see what I'm doing, you will have the confidence to act it out. You will have the boldness to speak it out. And even as you do, you will see my demonstration of glory that will silence the mouths of the gangsters. And as their mouths are silenced, they will bow the knee. They will bow the knee to my name. So as my sons and daughters cry out unto me for more of my glory, cry out unto me for my government of peace. For my government of peace is dwelling with on the inside of you. And as you grow in me, you will begin to see more of my government manifested in the earth. For you are the destination of my government.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We give you glory, oh God. We do lift you up. Oh, Lord, we feel your presence. We sense your presence is here, Lord God. And it's here, Lord God, because we can transact business together, because we are your people and you are our God. And we honor you and we worship you. And we give you glory and we surrender ourselves to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your name and for your beauty and for your holiness and for your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful and that you are true. And we thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing, Lord God. Not angels, not demons, not powers, not principalities, not mankind, not government, not corruption. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, and you are building us as living stones into your dwelling place. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. Oh, Lord, we are in awe of you. We are in awe of you. Who is man that you are mindful of him? Oh, God. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Sit down if you can. There's just like a super heavy presence of God. And, wow. Wow, wow, wow. So the Lord has some things planned here this morning. So it's going to be a little different because I'm not Apostle Bob. But he let me be here because he trusts me, and he does. That's for real. And I trust him just like you do as part of the family of this church. And this message that I'm going to bring this morning and share with you is out of a word that the Lord gave to Harvest over 20 years ago. And that word, the first time I heard that word, actually two different people prophesied this over Harvest, and they were not part of the congregation at the time that they prophesied it. And so it's a word that I've carried in my heart for over 20 years. And now the Lord says, now is the time. We're entering into this. So I'm going to share out of that. And to share out of that, because I consulted with where this word came from in the beginning to see what they remembered, is Steve and Tanya Hansen. If you guys can stand up and come up here, I'm going to introduce these two. I know most of you probably already know them, but I'm going to introduce them to you because I get to and I want to. I want to tell you how special Tanya is to me. In Tanya's teenage years, she and our daughter Leslie were best friends. And so Tanya and Leslie spent lots of moments together, lots of nights together. Some of those nights were at our house. Some of the nights were at your house. But I've just always had this special connection with Tanya from those years. And that, of course, has just continued to deepen through the years. And so when Tanya went to Christ for the Nations, the next year, Leslie went to Christ for the Nations because of Tanya's influence. And they were just best friends. And they still are friends. I mean, God has them on different paths now, but who knows when those paths will merge again, because I've heard prophetic words that they do, and I believe those prophetic words. But in that time that Tanya and Leslie were in Christ for the Nations, Steve came into the picture. And before I even met Steve, because I talked to my daughter a lot on the phone, I knew about Steve. I knew who he was, where he came from, how their dating was going, and all of those things, because as a daughter and a mom, you know those things. And so I had a connection to Steve before he showed up to marry Tanya. And so there has just been a spirit-to-spirit connection through all of the years. And I carry them in my heart. And I think I forgot to say this. Tanya's the third daughter of the apostles. And as you know, they have a ginormous family. And all of them are wonderful. But it just in particular, because of how God orchestrated things, I have a very significant and close relationship with Tanya. And then through Tanya with Steve. And so there was a time, roughly 20 years ago, where I had been at a conference at Shekinah. And at that conference, I can't even remember who was speaking, but I remember what the Lord said to me. He gave me some direction, and he said to come back to Harvest and to build an altar of worship in the sanctuary. And so for 40 days and 40 nights, which included Thanksgiving Day and included Christmas Day, the Lord didn't seem to mind that, I came for 2 hours and worshiped, and these two joined me. And I believe it was during one of those times that Steve released a prophecy that I'll share with you in just a little bit. I'm not trying to tease you, but I'm going to leave it for a minute before I share that, but I want you to know where it comes from. And I just want to share this first scripture that the Holy Spirit said to share, because it will show you what we're going to do here in a minute. So I clearly heard the Holy Spirit tell me Isaiah 12, 1 through 3. So I'm starting with that. And it says, or 2 and 3, sorry. So this is in the NIV, and it says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And so as I was pressing into that verse, and I was meditating on it, the Lord pointed out to me that there were many wells in this place called Harvest Christian Church. We had multiple wells. We have a well of faith. We have a well of his presence. We have a well of the word. We have the well of a well of the spirit of truth. We have a well of the Holy Spirit. We have a well of worship, building that altar of worship. But we also have a well of the prophetic. And so during worship, went back and told Steve and Tanya, this is what I'm hearing Holy Spirit do. So they didn't have a lot of pre-knowledge of this. But these two people are prophets. And so the Lord said, draw out of the well of prophecy to start this. And so what we are going to do is we're going to pass the microphone back and forth, and we're just going to, as the Holy Spirit leads, prophesy. And I gave them full liberty to follow the Holy Spirit. So that could be a corporate word, an individual word, or whatever kind of word that the Holy Spirit is saying to share. Because this is a well, and there was such a prophetic anointing here this morning. It's obviously a well that God wants to gusher up here this morning. So this is part of that.
All right. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. And the Lord started speaking right away when Prophet Susie came over, and I want to release something over the house, and then there's a few people that the Lord pointed out One of them had her birthday recently that they just announced. the Lord wants to release some words over. And I really believe that it's for this moment. It's for this season. And it's a time for you to come to a new place. It's a time for harvest to come to a new place in this hour. The Lord is opening up a lot of new doors, a lot of new opportunities, a new harvest field. I just see a lot of new things before you. And He wants to encourage you as His body. He wants to encourage you as His people. And, you know, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the prophetic is used to encourage, to give direction, to edify. And I really feel the Spirit of the Lord in here this morning really wanting to do that. And so I want to release this. It says, "Harvest, I have hit a hidden wealth within you. It's been hidden for a season, but now in this hour, this moment, I bring it to the forefront." There is wealth, wealth, wealth in abundance. You have been hidden, and that wealth has been hidden. It's both a spiritual wealth and it is a financial wealth. It's been hidden in a hidden place. But now the seeds that you have sown, I now speak to the things planted, and I say produce. I say a full harvest of fruit. I break the limit and the limitations, and I break the limitations that have held back that full harvest. And I say to you, a full flowing overflow and an abundance of harvest. And I say to you that I am connecting you in a new way. I am connecting you in new means. I am connecting you with new people. I am giving new connections in the government realm, in the religious realm, and in the political realm. I am connecting you, and as I do, the limitations that have been there, that have held like this confined area, and I see like this area that's been confined, but it's been restrained by the heart and the hand of the Lord. And He says, you've been faithful with what I've given you, and now it's time for the expansion that I promised. There's been a sifting, and I saw like these levels of sifters, and they were shaking out the ground, they were shaking out the earth, and it was sifting down through different levels. And each level there were particles and pieces. Some things were good and some things needed to go. And the Lord said, you kept the things that were good, and the things that needed to go you took out. And He says, and now is the final sifting, says the Lord, for that which I give you in the end will be the thing that I will use for the expansion. And the Lord says to you now that I am breaking off, even in this moment, the limitations, and I say expand to the left, to the right, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. And I say that now the canopy will expand out over the region and even beyond the region, says the Lord. And I connect you with old and new, and I say that I am releasing to you even more in the new, in the political realm, for I need your voice in the government, says the Lord. I open before you numerous double doors, says the Lord, in the political and the governmental realm. I release to you numerous double doors. Walk through them. Let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. Lift up the voice as a trumpet. Lift up my voice as a trumpet, says the Lord, in the political realm. For I open up the double doors, numerous double doors in the political realm. And abundance. I see storehouses all over the region, storehouses, and they will be released to the people. The people, you will be used to build numerous storehouses all over the region to release to the people. For the times ahead, it will be needed, says the Lord. Abundance. And out of those places, I will bring forth the wells of salvation that I have promised. and great harvest, great harvest, great harvest, great harvest. You have anything you want to add to that?
And I just also heard just a rumbling, just to go along with that. I heard the rumbling even in the spirit. And even some of you have said, I feel like a shaking and a rumbling, and I don't know what this is, but it feels like something just is trying to break out and to break through. And the Lord says it is time that that breakout and that breakthrough is coming. And those things that are rumbling and shaking that have even been in the foundations and have even been in those wells, the Lord is uncapping them. And he is saying this day, spring up. Spring up, spring up. And those things that you have been feeling and saying, something needs to break, something needs to break, something needs to break. He says, today is a day that is breaking forth and it is springing up. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the things that are even in the foundations. I just keep seeing that even in the foundations, those things that have been shaking, and the Lord says it is time, they will spring up. And just as Steve already prophesied, there will be a powerful springing up. I just see wells just bursting forth, and there will be abundance, and there will be wealth, and there will be refreshing, and there will be joy in your house, Lord. Thank you.
And the Lord wants to encourage you, and he says the days ahead and the shaking and the sifting ahead and the trials and tribulations ahead, don't get your eyes on those things. Keep your eyes on me. For there's a sound that I am releasing in you in that place, and it will be released into the region and in the territory out of this house. And do not get your eyes on those things, but keep your eyes on me. There's a sound of victory. There's a sound of triumph. There's a sound of the champion in your midst. There's a sound of the king in your midst. And release that sound, and it will override. It will override. It will override. It will override. So I say to you, my people, keep the sound of the trumpet of triumph in your mouth. Keep the sound of the cheer of the champion in your spirit, man. And release the sound of my kingdom out over. And it will bring the triumphant. It will bring the sound that will break. And it will shake. And it will establish that which I desire in the midst of the chaos, says the Lord. And it will bring forth the salvation that I desire. And there were a few people that I felt the Lord wanted to encourage. And Mike and Val. Mike, in particular for you, I saw Psalm 63. And it speaks of hunger. And it speaks of a depth and a yearning. Oh my God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My soul, it thirsts for you, and my flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. So I have looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. And the Lord is speaking this over you, you as a couple, and you in particular, Mike. I have looked and I have looked for you in the sanctuary to behold your power and your glory. And the Lord says, son, I am releasing upon you a depth and a hunger. My daughter, I'm releasing upon you a fresh depth and a hunger for my word and for my presence. And that hunger will draw me to you in a new way. For I have need of you in this hour in my body. I have need of you in this hour with my people. I have need of you to speak my word in the depths of the things that I will show you in this place of hunger. And the Lord says that I am releasing within you in your spirit, man, a fresh hunger and a fresh groaning that will draw me to you with face-to-face glory encounters, says the Lord. That's what your heart has longed for. And I say to you that your house shall be filled with my glory. Your house shall be filled with my presence. The generations of your house shall be filled with my glory. The generations and the bloodline of your house shall be filled with my presence, says the Lord. And the wealth that you have sought after is not of this world. The wealth that you have sought after is of my kingdom, says the Lord. And because of the desire of your heart, I come to you now in this hour and I answer the cry of your heart. Not things of this world, God, but things of your kingdom. Let it run down my family line. And the Lord says, I release the depths of the root system into your family line, and I release that hunger that will bear forth the fruit of the manifestation of my presence and my glory in your home, through your lives, and through your bloodline. Lord, we bless them.
Yes. We bless them. Yes, we bless yes. them.
And the Lord says it's a time of refreshing for the both of you. And I just see even in like your early days of salvation where there was just like this joy that was unspeakable and just full of glory. The Lord says, I am restoring even that upon your house and upon your marriage and upon you as individuals and my walk with you. The Lord says it is times of refreshing. I just see you both just laughing even. And there'll be laughter and joy in your home and just great refreshing and delight. Such delight. And so we just declare just the joy of your relationship with the Lord that he just says he's doing a new thing, even in your home.
Yeah. And the Lord just said, wash their feet off, brush off. So I brush off the dust of things that have tried to hold you back, things that have tried to plague you, try to resist you. I take it off and I say, move forward in a fresh and a new way. Fresh in a new way. Bless you guys. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. Anna and Kyle. The Lord wants to encourage you guys. I'm going to get behind you guys. Yeah. Gone is the old, and before you is the brand new. And I sovereignly come to you, and I say that I have such new things before you. There are new things that are before you, and I set you on a new path. I set you on a new way. I set you into a new destiny. And even this day, I release upon you a fresh anointing and a fresh fire. I release upon you a mantle, says the Lord, a mantle of my presence. My presence that will carry you into the place that I have before you for the days ahead that are going to be before you. For I have a positioning and I have a placing for you, and I will use you to train and equip my people, says the Lord. And I am going to take you into a season of seeking me, in a season of learning of me afresh and anew, of face-to-face encounters, a place of my presence that will overwhelm you, that will astound you, and that will just come over you and push you forward in a place of my love, says the Lord. For I will overwhelm you, son, with my presence and my love. I will overwhelm you with my glory and wash over you with my waterfalls, says the Lord. And I will wash in you and through you. I will teach of you my word, and I will teach of you by my spirit, says the Lord. For before you I have set a path, before you I have set a destiny, and I today set you in a new way on that path. I set you to where there are no way you can go to the left or to the right, but you will go forward and you will go forward with new momentum. I set you forth and I will use you and equip you to use you to teach my body, to equip my body, and to feed my sheep, says the Lord. For I have released upon you a pastoral anointing. I've released upon you a shepherding anointing. I've released upon you, even in this time, I release upon you an anointing to love my people, to train and equip my people. And I will send you to to the nations. I will use you in the nations. I will take you all over. But I want you to know, says the Lord, that I am going to train you and equip you in this hour as I unite you together. I will use you to bring forth my presence, my passion, my power, and my love, and pour out upon my people. But take this time to learn of me, to spend time with me, and to hear from me, to hear from my spirit, and see what I show you. Write it down. I see even you, Anna. I see you writing books. I see you taking past journals. I see you writing books in the future. And so the Lord has many things before you. Stay on the straight thing that I have before you, both of you, and I will use you to train and equip my people.
Yes, God. And I was so glad Steve came over, because when Susie first came to us, Kyle, the Lord highlighted you right away, and I just saw you actually alone and just really pensive, thinking before the Lord. And the Lord just wants you to know, Kyle, he sees you, and I just see you in his word being taught by the Lord. And I just see his word being washing over you. And just things of the past that haven't made sense, or things that you've tried to understand, as the word just washes over you, you will see clearly, and he will teach you by his spirit. So I just see those things that you are asking and you are seeking, he's going to answer them. Just keep pressing into his word. Lord, I thank you, and I bless Kyle right now, God, even as you've already spoken, Lord, that you are going to use him. Father, I thank you that even in this time, you are teaching him and you are bringing him into a deeper place in your word. And God, I just pray that those deep encounters and those deep revelations and wisdom will just open up to him in a new way, Lord. I thank you, God. I bless them.
Yeah. And I just worship. I hear that over you. Worship. Stay in a place, in an atmosphere of my presence and my glory, and worship. And I will pour out upon you. There's such a sweet peace and presence over you. Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Can I squeeze by you? But then I'm coming back to you, actually. I guess we should have gone around the other way. Joanne, you can stay seated. Thank you, God. God, I just thank you for Joanne. And Joanne, I just see over you life. I just heard the Lord speak over you life. And even as you were dancing in the front, that is the word I saw over you. Life. And as I began to ask the Lord, he said, your life has been like perennials, where every year they come back. They're faithful. They come back. But the Lord says, now I'm even bringing forth new life. The things that you have not seen, come back. And you said, Lord, what about this thing, though? This thing, I have not seen that come around in my life. And the Lord says, this is a time of new life. It will not be the same. It will not be the same things that come up. But this is a time of new things coming up. And even those things you have cried out for decades, the Lord said, that new life is coming forth. And we just declare over you life. We declare over the things that you have cried out for in a place of intercession before the Lord that only he even knows. And we just declare what the Lord is saying, and we say, life.
Yes, Lord. Faithful and true. You've been faithful and true to me, and I say I am faithful and true to you. And even in this season, yeah. I breathe afresh on you, my spirit, says the Lord. Even where you say, God, I need new strength. I breathe in you new strength.
I breathe into you fresh and new strength. And I say for the days ahead of you, you will run even more and you will run even stronger than even when you were in your youth, and you'll be astounded and you'll go, oh my goodness, Lord, I don't even know if I can handle this. And I say to you, I infuse you even now with fresh new strength. And where you've even said, God, I feel weary, I say to you, I break that off now. Even where the weariness over this region has tried to hold you down, I break it off, for I have need of you in this hour, says the Lord. I have need of you, and I breathe on you afresh and anew right now. In Jesus' name.
You can feel that. I mean, you can really feel it. And since we are a family, you know, you heard different ones get called out and things said, but you know that we are a family, which means there's a tree there that we are all part of. So everything there that is for you, that is what God has given you, is going to go down your root system in your family. That where there's weariness, God's strength is there for us to take. So you go ahead and you grab hold of that. I know I am grabbing hold of that. When the Lord gave me a response, so I'm going to read some things out of Job here. Let's see here. I'm trying to help the people in the back. I'm going to start at Job 36, verses 31, and go into 37 for a few. So this is what I heard the Lord say as the prophetic word was being released. He says, this is the way he governs the nations and provides food in abundance. He fills his hands with lightning and commands it to strike the mark. And that's what we feel. We're feeling the vibration of the lightning of the word, the lightning of the prophetic word that was released here. His thunder announces the coming storm. Even the cattle make known his approach. At this, my heart pounds. My heart is pounding. And it leaps from its place. Listen. Listen to the roar of his voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. And after that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. And when his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. So that means that in those prophetic words, he is not holding back. The doors are open. It has been released. And so it's up to us. This is about drawing from the well, where we started in Isaiah 12 to draw from the well means to continually move toward what is available, to continually move, which means you go deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's how you go deeper, is you take what is given and then you wait for the next portion. You take that is given, then you take the next portion that is given, and that's how you go deep. But even for years, as we've been crying deep to deep, deep to deep, and take us deeper still, and the God saying, I'm taking you deeper still. Still, he says, this is the dynamic, this is the demonstration of the depth of the wells of salvation that I have put in this house that you are part of. But I'm going to go on here. It says, I'm going to start with verse 3 again. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven. He sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. You don't have to understand it. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain, shower, be a mighty downpour. Why does he do this? So that all men he has made may know his work, and he stops every man from his labor. Whoa. This is the Lord's Selah to the prophetic words that were just released. But I'm going to add two more prophetic words, because the Lord told me to prophesy over those that connect through Facebook, For the Lord says to you that are part of the Facebook family of Harvest, that he sees your heart and he hears the cry of your heart. And he knows that you link into this because you are looking for more of him. The Lord says, I am releasing my presence in your house and in your life in a new measure. I am causing expansion in you. So I say to you to even widen your tent pegs. I say to you, prepare more places at the table. Prepare for more to come, because the Lord says, I am sending more into your house. I am sending more revelation. I am sending more understanding. I am sending more of my glory into the places where you dwell. And the Lord says that he values you, and he values even how you connect into the dynamic of Harvest. And he has not discounted you or seen you in any way as a second-class citizen. But the Lord says, I know who you are. I know your name, and I see your heart, and I have you firmly planted where I want you to be planted. So the Lord says, rejoice in this and rejoice again. Hallelujah. And then to Jophi, I saw Jophi. Go ahead and stand up, Jophi. For the Lord says to you, daughter, that even as you begin this new chapter of your life and that you are being transplanted into Chicago, a new land for you, the Lord says, I've had you in the depths of the wells in this house, and they have been broken open in you. So everything as you go to Chicago and start this new chapter that I have you in, the Lord says that you take with you the depths of salvation that are in this house. And the Lord says, you know that, you know that, you know it. But the Lord says, no, you don't know it. You have not seen the flow of what I'm going to do once your feet are on that ground. You have not felt the river that will burst forward into the city of Chicago and into the people groups that I connect you with. For that river of mine will burst through you and burst through your husband and will carry a portion of Detroit into Chicago, that the Lord says, this is a bigger part of my picture than two people coming together. This is my kingdom making a connection between this city and that city and what I am doing. And the Lord says that you will look back to Detroit and you will speak things. And Detroit will look to you and will speak things. And the Lord says that there will be a dynamic, a supernatural dynamic of the Spirit that will cause an acceleration in the Spirit between these two cities and their destinies, because the Lord says Detroit is mine, and the Lord says Chicago is his, and the Lord says he's not letting it go, and that he has a plan, and you are part of that plan, daughter. You are part of that plan. Your husband is part of that plan, and you have not seen the glory that's going to come out of you and through you through the wells that God has put in you yet. But the Lord says when you do, you will know and you will rejoice. Amen. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, I got 4 pages of notes. None of those were, no, a little bit of it was in my notes. But that's okay, because one thing that I know how to do is bottom line stuff. And so we're now just going to go to the bottom line. And I want to share with you, I told you that all of this started because I've been carrying a prophetic word for 20-some years in my heart. I can't figure out if it's 20 or 25. So somewhere in there, when we were building the altar of worship here in this sanctuary for 40 days, and Steve and Tanya were part of that, Steve was given a vision and a prophetic understanding, and he shared with me and said that there would be something like a storm that would come to Detroit. And when it did, there would be something about Harvest that the people that were connected to it and Harvest itself would not receive the brunt of this storm. So I've been carrying this word. You know, the Lord, when the Lord wants you to carry something, you don't forget it. So I have never forgotten this word. At different times, different circumstances have risen up where I've asked the Lord, is this the word? Is this the place where your word that you released through Steve, is this the place where this word is now being applied? But it was always no. But now the Lord has said, this is the time. This is the time, because there are these wells of salvation that we have drawn from. And I want you to know that that word salvation can also be transcribed as deliverance. It can be transcribed as victory. And so when you are looking for a victory, God says there's already a well. And that well is here. And that well is even in you if you've been here for a while. And if you haven't been here for a while and you're newly connected, then ask the Lord to open your eyes so you see the well of victory. And as you are prophesying, you prophesied about champion. The Lord has been speaking champion to me. So we're going to go to Isaiah 42:13. And I'm going to expand on that word a little bit, because this is part of it. And Isaiah 42:13 says, the Lord. In some translations, it says that champion. Where it says mighty man, it'll say champion. But the Lord will march out like a mighty man or champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time, now this is the Lord speaking, for a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. What are the mountains and the hills? That's all of the things that are getting in the way of what God wants to do. He's going to wipe them out. He's going to wipe them out, and it'll dry up like vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. These are the things I will do. These are the things that he is now doing that we are part of. We are part of. We are connected to the champion who is the mighty man of war that has stirred up his zeal and is now marching out, and he is moving in a new way. And he says that in this, he wants us connected to him. He wants us to release his voice. He wants us to release his sound. He wants us to release glory to him and adoration. He wants us to be captured by his beauty and by his holiness. And he wants us to absorb that holiness in us and that beauty in us, because it's part of our DNA. It's part of our makeup. It's what he wants to strengthen in us, because it's in that place where he strengthens his holiness in us that will make us be able to stand. And when the prevailing winds blow, that we will not be blown down, that we won't have to turn around. We won't have to sit down. We won't have to be dazed or in wonder, but our eyes will be so fixed upon our champion, upon the mighty man of war who has crafted us and made us for this moment and this time in this city, to come alongside of him as the storm is coming into this city. Now, what is this storm? Well, you could say it was a lot of things in the natural. You could read headline. I could stand up here and read headline after headline after headline. But the Lord says it's the culmination of all of it. But we have to remember the culmination of everything that's being exposed is because the Lord is shaking. He's shaking. Now, let me give you another scripture here. I'm going to come back to 42, so I'll stick this. You know, I did have notes, but oh well. I'm going to go back up to Job 38 when I find it here. Here we go. Here's what the Lord says. We know we're at the beginning of a new era, right? Well, here's what it says in 38:12, Job. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light. Did you hear that? The wicked are denied their light. This is what the mighty man of war has stirred up his zeal, and he's coming out to snuff out powers and principalities and structures of wickedness, because he says at the beginning of something new, in the dawn of a new day, that he takes the earth by its edges and he shakes the wickedness out of it. So that is what we are seeing. That is what we are seeing. So we don't need to fear, but we do need to make sure that we stay in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? The fear of the Lord means that we are keeping our eyes upon him, and we know that he is doing something that is advancing his kingdom, because the word tells us that his kingdom does not cease to advance. And so no matter what it looks like in the natural, no matter what mocking voice gets thrown over the airwaves, whatever kind of airwaves that you turn into, that mocking voice, that voice of darkness is not going to prevail. Remember that Jesus said to Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, that God is building. The church that God is building. There's a key there. And part of the wells that are in this church, I mean, I've worked alongside our apostles for I don't even know how many years yet, because I've been going here since 87, so you do the math. And so I've been working with them since then, and this is one thing I know about them, and one thing that I honor about them, is that they are always listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they follow the voice of the Holy Spirit and not man. Yeah. Not man. And that is the truth. That is a pure root that we have in this house, is that we will follow after the Lord and no other. And there are times when God wasn't doing anything, so we kind of stayed in the same place for a while. But then his presence and voice would come back in a way that caused us to advance again. Well, that's not unlike the Israelites. You know, when the cloud stopped, they set up camp. And when the cloud moved, they moved. And so when God has moved, we have moved. And if God's not showing us how he's moving, then we did not move. We didn't morph ourselves to look like whatever the popular look was for churches of that day. You know, we never became a seeker-friendly church. So that is one example. And so you need to know what the wells are here. Because God says that it's the tying into these wells that's going to get us through the storm and cover us in the storm. Now let me go back here and read a couple more things here. So verse 14 again. The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their upraised arm is broken. So God, in this shaking, God is breaking apart, unraveling, and dismantling strongholds and powers and principalities that ruled in the old order that cannot come into the new order. Just like there's certain things that God has confronted us with individually that you cannot take that into the new time. You have to let go of that. You've got to think different. You've got to set your focus in a different place. You've got to keep your eyes on me. You've got to trust me with all of your heart and not lean on your own understanding, as it says in Proverbs, so that I can get you through. So let me go back to Steve's prophetic word, because what that prophetic, he didn't use this word, but this is where I called him yesterday, because I wanted to know if what I was hearing witnessed with what he said, if he even remembered saying it. And what he was perceiving prophetically way back 20 some years ago was God's going to give us a place of Goshen. Amen. This is about Goshen. Yes. And so I'm going to make a fast story of the life of Joseph, okay? Joseph was one of 12 sons of Jacob, and those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. And when Joseph was a young boy, he was highly favored by his dad, which made all of his other brothers jealous, because his dad made him a coat, a richly ornamented coat, and the rest of his brothers were jealous because they didn't know why he had been singled out. They didn't know why he had a coat and they didn't have a coat. Now, does this sound pretty human? And so they were just, you know, were just like they were back then. And so their nose was out of joint because their brother had a coat and they didn't. So one time his dad sent him out to the field where his brothers were tending sheep. They saw Joseph coming in the distance, so they hatched a plan and they were going to kill him and then take his coat back and say, well, dad, this brother's gone, because they don't want to have to deal with him anymore, because he'd also had a couple of dreams where it made it sound like he was superior to them when he shared those dreams. Well, one brother said, let's not kill him, let's not have the blood on his hands, because there was a merchants coming through, and so they sold him into slavery. Now, does it sound like the hand of God? Probably doesn't sound like the hand of God, but it was the hand of God. It was the hand of God. They sold him into slavery. He went into Egypt. He served at Potiphar's house. Potiphar was the captain of the king's guard, and he served there, and he had the favor on him. You know, he had a coat, you know, that his brothers saw, but what Potiphar saw was everything Joseph touched was blessed. And so he gave Joseph run over the whole house except for his wife. But then his wife got lustful after Joseph, but Joseph wouldn't comply. And so then Joseph was thrown into prison. Does that sound like, oh, God is blessing me? In the natural, it does not. But in the prison, Joseph was favored by the head guy, the head guard, and he gave him, Joseph, the governance over all of the other prisoners that were there. And during that time, he interpreted two dreams, and they were accurate dreams. And he says in there, my God interprets dreams. So he knew it wasn't him interpreting the dreams, but he knew God. He knew the presence of God. He knew the voice of God. And it doesn't really say anywhere, but everything indicates that he was a deep worshiper of the Lord. A deep worshiper of the Lord. Plus, as the word about roots, it had come down. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now Joseph. And so there is something to those roots, and God makes it so. God makes it so. Remember, they tried to kill him. I mean, sold as a slave, put into slavery, thrown in prison. He interprets these dreams and says to them, remember me when you get out. But he wasn't remembered. He was left, but then Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream, and nobody could interpret it, and that's when the chief baker remembered, not the baker, the cupbearer, because the baker was long gone, cupbearer remembered that there was a man in prison that knew how to interpret dreams. And so they brought Joseph out, and he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. And this dream was where Pharaoh had seen the seven fat cows, then the seven lean and gaunt cows, and he couldn't figure out what that meant, and it was turning in his spirit, and he knew that he needed to know. Well, Joseph gave not only the interpretation of that, he also gave a strategy out of that. And so when he gave that strategy, Pharaoh said, well, since no one seems to understand this better than you, Pharaoh made Joseph second in command of the whole nation. Well, as predicted, as Joseph had accurately heard the Lord, there were 7 years of abundance, and then a famine came, and the famine was over all of the earth. Now, this sounds like things that people talk about that are they call conspiracy theory. Is it conspiracy theory? And all honestly, I don't know. I just know there's lots of talk. And so I know this, that there's Goshen. And this is what God wants us to know. So all of the nations were under this severe famine, which then caused Israel to be released from the land of Canaan, come into the land of Egypt, and be settled in the region of Egypt called Goshen. And I want to read you just a little scripture thing here, because I want to point out a couple of things from Genesis 46. I'm going to start in 31 and then go through verse 6 in 47. So this is after his 12 brothers had moved back. They've come back. And so he's talking, this is Joseph talking to Pharaoh. He's going to talk to Pharaoh. He's talking to his brothers. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household who were living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds. They tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. And when Pharaoh, he's instructing his brothers, when Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then, Joseph says, this is what will happen. Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to Egyptians. Egyptians didn't like the smell of shepherds. 47 verse 1. Joseph went and told Pharaoh, "My father and brothers with their flocks and herds and everything they own have come from the land of Canaan and are now in Goshen." He chose five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked the brothers, "What is your occupation?" "Your servants are shepherds," they replied to Pharaoh, "just as our fathers were." They also said to him, "We have come to live here for a while." That while turned out to be 400 years. "Because the famine is severe in Canaan and your servants' flocks have no pasture. So now please let your servants settle in Goshen." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen." Now, what I want to point out here is a prophetic part, because Joseph was led by the Spirit of the Lord to choose five brothers. Well, why would he choose five brothers? You know, in the church world of today, we call five the number grace, right? We got grace hanging up there. I put it up there. And I do believe five is the number of grace. But in Joseph's day, that's not how they looked at things. They looked at things prophetically to hear how God was speaking and to see where he was leading through the Hebrew alphabet, which they called living letters. Or knew them as living letters because they were pictures. And through looking at the pictures, they would be led by God. So he put Joseph, I'm sure, didn't do this out of his mind, but from his spirit said, "Give me five brothers to go before Pharaoh." Well, let me tell you what the number five means in ancient Hebrew. It is the letter Hey, H-E-Y. It's the fifth letter of the alphabet, and what it looks like is this: a man with his hands spread wide. Later on, it got morphed, and it would look like a lattice or an open window, but at that time, it looked like a man with spread out hands, and what that meant was behold. Behold. And behold means take note. See what I am doing. Understand what I am doing, because I will give you revelation of how I am moving, and you will know how to position yourself because you are beholding what I am doing. And as we behold God, this is what leads us into Goshen. As we behold God, then he brings us revelation. I have a tiny little manual that someone gave me about the ancient Hebrew language, and in this chapter on this letter, it says it even makes a difference whether the hey is the first letter in the word, the middle letter in the word, or the end letter in the word. If it's the first letter in the word, it means behold. If it's the second letter in the word, now I got to remember. If it's the second letter in the word, it means examine what I'm about to do. If it's the last letter in the word, it means look at where this comes from. Do you see all the strategy and insight and depth in that? This is a well. This is a well. So out of this, Joseph was prophesying over his 12 brothers and all the Israelites, which I can't remember their number at that time, 70-something, I think, but doesn't matter. This is what he was prophesying before Pharaoh when he took them in, and what he was prophesying to his brothers, because remember, his brothers knew the Hebrew language too. So they were starting to get adrift of what God was doing. So here's what Joseph was prophesying. Behold, look at and examine what I am about to do. Study it, take it all in, that it is revealed. See the heart and core of what is being done and what will come from it. And this is what God is saying to us. He's saying, behold, look, stop and look. That word behold is kind of like being arrested. It's like you're going about doing your daily thing, and all of a sudden you see something. We've all had this experience where we see something. Maybe it's a dramatic sunset or sunrise, or maybe it's just some kind of skirmish over on the side. But there is something that causes us to stop, turn, and look. For Moses, it was the burning bush. And so We've all had that experience. So God is saying this is a time to look for that, to look and see. And when you have a sense, even if it's just a minor sense, that I'm stirring in a place, stop and look, stop and behold, stop and see, because he opens the eyes of our understanding. You know, in Ephesians 1, he opens the eyes of our understanding, gives us wisdom, and gives us downloads. It causes us to not feel, this is where the enemy, if we don't do this, the enemy comes in and makes us feel like we're cut off, makes us feel like we're an orphan, makes us feel like we missed the boat. But God says, if you just keep your eyes on me, if you behold me, I will show you. I will show you. And if you continue to press into what I will show you, that you will see the revelation of it, and you'll see what will come from it. You'll see what will come from it. And what will come from it is things like your deliverance. What will come from it is things like your abundance. Because when the Israelites went into the land of Goshen, what that was it was a place inside of Egypt. Inside of Egypt, but it was a place where they were separated from the Egyptian way of life and they could have their own way of life. It was a place where they flourished. The Bible says that when they were in, the Israelites were in Goshen, that he multiplied them. And he brought great abundance. In fact, 400 years later, when they left, you go into the book of Exodus, Israel had now become a nation. You know, we sang this morning one of my favorite all-time songs, which is Steve Swanson's song, A Nation Coming to Birth. Well, I'll tell you, God is causing a nation to come to birth in this time. And we need to keep our eyes on him and behold him and see where we are in this nation, how we are connected together. We know we're connected here together as a family, but how is he connecting Harvest into the city of Detroit? How is he connecting us into the region? How is he connecting us into the state? Where is the place that he wants us to release that sound? That was such a good prophetic word that Steve and Tanya released over us as a body of believers. It was just right on, and it was right now. It was right for today. And so I really encourage you to go back and listen to that. It'll be typed up and handed out at some point. But before that, go listen, hear, and behold. Stop the tape. Listen. Let God show you what he's doing. Show you where you fit. Show you. Let yourself in your spirit hear the cadence so you know how to walk. See the banner that we're carrying. I mean, we have banners. Obviously, we're a church of banners. Well, God has a banner over us all the time. That's why these move, change out up here. It's like, what is his banner over us today? How is he moving us today? He says, I'm moving you today in my heart, with my heart, and I've given you the grace or the divine enablement to come with me, because I've empowered you by the Spirit of God, by your Christ within you and you in Christ, that I've empowered you for this day. I've set it in your DNA. It was in Joseph's DNA. It was in Joseph's DNA. He carried Goshen in him. So our Goshen is Jesus. Our Goshen, that is our place of safety. That is the place. And that's the place for everybody who's a believer. But the Lord says, don't settle for it being that big. He said that there's a spot. There's a spot, there's a dynamic that's just for you. And in this spot, in this dynamic, you will flourish, and I'll cause you to flourish, and you'll experience the abundance, and you'll experience my blessing in a deep, deep, deep way. These are not empty promises. They're not empty promises. Going back to Isaiah 42 here, remember, it was the Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior, like a champion. He will stir up his zeal. But I'm going to read part of this again, I guess. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry, and he will triumph over his enemies. Remember, our fight is not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and rulers of wickedness in dark places. But God speaks through us. You know, he moves through our worship. He moves through our devotion to him. He moves out of our unity together. That's where the commanded blessing comes. And so So I feel like today the Lord is saying, Harvest, I have you right where I want you. And this is a place where you can advance from. So keep your eyes on me. Behold me. Listen to the messages. Listen to the word that I'm releasing through your apostles and the prophetic words that I'm releasing, the songs that are being sung through worship, because I'm speaking to you and I'm preparing you and I'm causing you to advance. It's not just preparation, but it's a time of moving. It's a time of advancing. It's a time of laying hold of the destiny that God has us bound together in Christ, together here at Harvest. Huh. Now that was fast. Okay. Jumping to Acts 17. So I want to bring this up to date. I'm going to read this out of here. Acts 17, 24 through 28. Because this is a New Testament demonstration. So let me give you a little backdrop here. Paul is in Athens, and Athens is a place where there's so many gods. There's so many gods that he's just like, his head is spinning. And there's even a monument to something called an unknown god. And so he looks at the people of Athens and see how they know nothing about the real God. So here's what he says to them. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. Oh, we sang today. You know, God doesn't inhabit temples made by human hands, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. We are living in our appointed time, in our appointed boundaries. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live, move, and have our being. You know, we quote that scripture a lot, but I felt like the Lord said, give the whole context that scripture came forth. Because here the Lord is saying, I've marked boundaries for you. I mark time on the timeline that is in earth, because God's outside of time. But he marks a timeline in the earth. And he says, I set you in this timeline. I gave you everything you needed. I gave you boundaries. I gave you length of day. I gave you blessings. I gave you my son Jesus. I gave you the blood. I gave you redemption. I gave you deliverance. I fed you. And the Lord says, now, this is the place to stay in. Live in this place. Have your being in this place. Move inside of the strength, the courage, and the dynamic of Christ in you. Don't move on your own in your own power. You'll wear out. You'll get taken out. The Lord says it's in him. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, which can also mean incorruptible, through the living and enduring word of God. I want to go back to the prophetic word that Steve prophesied, because he prophesied about seed in there. Let me go back to the story about Joseph. When they went into the land of Goshen, Pharaoh gave them seed to plant. God, as he's taking us into this place of Goshen, he is giving us seed. He is giving us seed, and it's the imperishable, incorruptible seed of Christ. And he's saying, live in here. Move in here. Have your being in here. Because this is the place you will flourish. This is the place that you will become all that you are to become. This is the place where my hand is upon you in a strong way. Now, does that mean you like lock yourself in the bedroom and never go out? No, that's not what it means. It means that everywhere you go, you are enveloped. you are enveloped in the presence of the Lord, that everything that you wonder, should I do this or should I do that, that you're asking him, that you're being led by the Spirit, that your eyes are on him, that you're no longer, as it says in Romans 8:1, we're no longer under the curse of the law and sin and death, but we've been set free in the life that we now will live. We live by faith in Christ. And it's by the Spirit of life. We're eating from the tree of life. You have to, or at least I found this true for me, I have to let go of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if I stay there and I eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and I look at all the stuff that's going on, all I do is analyze. And then it makes me think, how can this ever work? How can it ever happen? How can anything ever be? And I can't be, as it says in Timothy, to be fully persuaded that he is able to do that which he's committed against that day. God has committed things against this time where he's shaking the wickedness out of the earth. And he can do it, but we need to eat from the tree of life. We don't need to evaluate all that the world systems are doing. We don't need to evaluate who's going to win and all of that. There's a place he wants us to speak into that. So I'm not saying be separated totally from that, but speak in it what God wants you to speak. Don't go in it with your mind. Don't go in your mind. Go in your spirit. That's where you live and you move and you have your being, and you won't get tripped up. And this is the place of Goshen. It's the place of safety. Now when the Israelites left Goshen, if you remember, there were plagues that were released over Egypt, that God released all of these plagues. And if you go into a deep study of the plagues, each one of the plagues dealt with a false god system that was over Egypt. Well, don't you think that prophetically God was breaking the bounds and the chains of the false gods, that after Israel had been there for 400 years, don't you know they were chained into those gods? And so God had to break those chains so that the Israelites could come out and go to the promised land. And so the same is true today. God doesn't change his. He's doing the same thing today. He's brought deliverance, a new way of thinking. We think different than we've ever thought. And so he's causing a new nation to come to birth, and we are part of that new nation. We are part of that new nation. 1 Peter 2:9-10, my last scripture says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are. Now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have. Now you have. We have received mercy. The gate is open. The gate is open. And the word Goshen, if you look at all the pictures of the Hebrew words, it means that God has rendered open the seed. So that's in Goshen. You got to come in Goshen to get your future. You got to come into Goshen to get the next. You got to, because that's where God put it. And so if you want the next, that's where you come. And then there's ways that I can't talk about right now, but there's ways that God will have you extend Goshen over places that he'll show you, where he'll give you compassion of heart, and you'll extend Goshen, a level of protection over places and people and works that he puts it upon your heart to do, because we can do that. We can do that through the Holy Spirit. And so the gates of Goshen are open, and God is saying, come in. He says, the storm is coming, but don't be afraid, because you won't be devoured. That doesn't mean the wind won't blow, but you won't be devoured if you keep your eyes on me and stay in Goshen. Stay in Goshen. It's not magic. This is not magic. This isn't something that we do out of a religious spirit or fear, but it's out of devotion. It's out of love. It's out of worship. It's out of the understanding and knowledge of who God is, and that the earth is his and everything in it, and it's never changed. That he sets times and seasons, that he sets those in authority, and he takes them out, and he does it to serve his purposes. Hebrews 2:10 says in the Passion Translation, it starts out, it says, it's talking about Jesus, and it says he towers higher than the earth and all of the heavens. You know, David talks a lot about running into the strong tower, that God is a refuge. This is Goshen. This is Goshen. I'm just trying to give you as many pictures so you can get a hold of Goshen, because God is saying the door is open. This is a time of open doors, and God is inviting us in. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us places of protection. We thank you, Lord God, that you have set and marked a path for us, and it's a path of life, and that you will lead us on that path. And, Father, we thank you, for we behold your glory. We behold your beauty, and we behold the path that you've laid before us as a church and as families and as individuals, Lord. And we seek after and continue to seek after you. We set our mind on things above and not on the things of the earth, Lord God. And we are not hesitant to open our mouth and release the sword of the Spirit and speak those things that are not as though they were. We thank you, Father, for your angelic hosts. We thank you, Lord, that you watch out for your word to perform it, that this is not by our might or by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And we give you all glory. Amen and amen. Okay, I'm going to give you one anecdote. This is 30 seconds. I read about this morning because it's St. Patrick's Day, and I know that a lot of you have Irish descent. So I read about St. Patrick. He was not even Irish. He went into Ireland, listen to this, as a slave. A whole lot like Joseph. By the time he died, he was known as the Apostle of Ireland. It was his Goshen. Yeah. Amen. And happy St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.